Welcome back to another episode of the podcast Fire in My Heart. What if I tell you the war is not against the actions or the words, but it starts within our minds. So let's talk about the war in our minds in today's episode. Welcome back again to another episode. I am so glad that you're here and I pray that God speaks to you through this podcast. Today, as we talk about the war in our minds, I believe it will speak to you. I believe that it will touch you and it'll give you a new insight. And I want to request, if you love this podcast, if you love this topic that we're going to talk about today, please do feel free to share this with your family and friends. Follow wherever you're consuming this content and do like. And if you want to, you can comment or you can send audio messages about any questions or anything you want to add on in this podcast, with this podcast via the Anchor app. So let's get back, getting back to the topic. Have you ever felt like you are constantly battling with your thoughts or facing intrusive and negative patterns in your mind that seems to hold you captive? It is pretty common and it is present in everybody's mind. Only some of them or few of us called by God has worn it. But some of us didn't even realize and we are still in the captiveness. That's why this podcast, I felt this is important to share. That's why I have made this podcast. So join me today as we delve into the power of our thoughts, the spiritual battle within our minds, and how we can fight this war to experience true transformation. So there is a spiritual war, a spiritual battle within our minds every day. The day we got saved, the day we received Christ as our Savior, we are in a constant battle. We have become a constant soldier who is battling with the evil. Now, it's a constant war. It doesn't stop anywhere. And it's not even a physical war where you can take the guns or the swords and just kill it off. It's a spiritual war. It happens in your mind. It happens in many ways. You cannot predict or find a common path. And sometimes it's an intrusive thought. Sometimes it's a hate. Sometimes it's a self-praise. Sometimes it's even self-doubt and even dark fantasies. I'm trying to mention everything that could be included or that is the spiritual war in our minds. Now, Romans 7 verse 23 to 25, it says, in an NIV version, I'm going to read it. It's said by Paul that he says, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am, who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now here's what Paul says. There is a war waged against the law of my mind. What is the law of my mind? The law of my mind is how my mind works, the rules and principles. And that war or the law, the another law that is against the law of my mind or the law of our mind, is trying to make us the prisoner of the law of sin. So what is happening here is this law, another law that is working against our law, the law of our mind, is trying to remove or trying to nullify or deny or ignore the law of our mind, which is supposed to be working under the Christ, under the power of Christ. The another law is trying to take hold of our mind, remove the law, and put the law of sin at work within our mind or within us. This is why Paul says, what a wretched man I am, who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death. So though this body is subject to death, but we have to live in it until the time has come to an end when Jesus Christ will be on the clouds. But till we are in this body, we have to be in constant work of fighting with this law. The reason is, this law of sin, actually this verse fully depicts or shows that the spiritual battle is right here in our mind. But who will rescue us? That's what Paul's asked. Who is going to rescue me from this body that is subject to death? It's definitely hard. It's not easy, I would say. It's definitely very difficult to fight the intrusive thoughts, especially when you are doing it alone. That's why the verse says in the last line, it says, thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So if then there's a problem, there's a solution. There's always a solution. So God doesn't leave us there. God doesn't leave you. God is not like, okay, you received Christ as your savior. Good. You are in our team. Now you can fight. You have to fight by your own self. We're not going to help you. We just wanted you in our team. No, that could be done. That could be done by any humans who says, come in our team. And once you are in their team, you are on your own. They're not working as a team. No, when God calls you, He's going to help you out. That you are not alone. He's going to be with you. He's going to provide the solution to all your problems, one by one, day by day, or however, whatever the God's timing is, He's going to do it. He's not going to leave you alone. Even in the midst of problems, when you have to go through it, sometimes the solution is not easily given or is not easily shown, because sometimes it's necessary that we go through the problems so that we are developed and are better and are stronger when we come out of the problem. So, but even in that time, God doesn't leave you. God is still with you. So understand how the Apostle Paul faced a similar struggle. Acknowledging that only God through Jesus Christ can deliver us from this internal conflict. So he also has faced similar struggle. Everybody in the Bible, every character, everybody in the human world, of course, everybody in the world has faced this and is still facing. But only through God, only by God, through Christ, only he can deliver us from this internal conflict. It's definitely hard because it's in our mind. Well, the first step we can do here is taking our thoughts captive to Christ. It says in 2 Corinthians 10 verses 5 that we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Here's what the first solution is. Now, our thoughts can shape our reality. Our thoughts control everything. Our mind is the center of our body. Our mind is the controlling part of our body. So if the attack is on our mind, if the attack is on our thoughts, it's the internal conflict. The first solution that we can do is demolish all the arguments. You do not have to fight it. Demolish the arguments and take those thoughts. Definitely take those thoughts captive to God, through Christ, in obedience to Christ. This is the first solution, and this is obviously great solution to handle the spiritual battle warfare happening in our mind. Demolish arguments. You don't have to argue with the thoughts. You can definitely say better than what the thought is saying to you, but it can also say better than what you're saying. The argument could be infinity. It could be endless. And even though you might be winning, and even though you think it's like kind of you're winning, but you're just wasting your time, and time is also precious. So anyway, the enemy either wants to destroy you, or it might let you do the time waste, or it might let you waste your precious time, which you can use it for your purpose of life that God has given you. So demolish arguments. every pretension that is against the knowledge of God in your mind, and take captive every thought, take captive to make it obedient to Christ. So again, God is not leaving you alone. He's going to help you out. And when he says he's going to help you out, there's always a part that comes up where you have to put your effort. God has promised many things to Israel in regarding of restoration, in regarding of victory. But God only gave them what they fought for. If God gave them everything that he promised, that doesn't seem like fair. That doesn't seem like fair. In fact, that would lead Israel to more destruction, because Israel will think, oh, God is going to do it for us anyway. We don't have to do anything. That makes more destructive end. That gives more destructive results. So what God wants is, God is promising you that he's going to be with you. He's going to help you control. He's going to help you demolish these thoughts that is taking you captive to the sin. But you got to do one thing. God says you've got to do one thing, and you have to show me that you love me and you really want it to be a way. And the first step always for deliverance is that you have to take a step. So in order for a promise of God to work, you have to take the first step. You have to put some effort, and then God will work for you. Why are we talking a lot about the war in our minds, or most of the things related to mind? It's because it's a central controlling system of our body. If your mind is not healthy, your body is not healthy as well. So if your mind is not on focused mode, your work that you do, or the job that you're doing, is also seems to be failing, or it's also not done the correct way. So if your mind has to be in the right place in order for your actions to work, or in order for your actions to be in correct way. And that's why we are talking about the war in our minds. Because if we have to do the ministry of God, if we want to share the gospel, or if you want to do good to people, or if you want to do exactly what the God says, or if you want to hear the word of God, if you want to hear his voice, you need your mind to be healthy. If all the other kind of thoughts are in your mind, how can you understand the difference between God's voice and the voice of your head? You have to clear it up. You have to definitely bring the thoughts to God. And also, here's why scientifically, or how psychologically way people say, is that, for example, a real life story about Sarah, who from her childhood faced self-doubt and negative thinking. She always thought that she cannot do anything. So let's say she was doing any job. For example, she was doing gardening, or she was driving a car, or she was learning to drive a car. Every time she do any job, she says or she thinks that she's unable to do it. Though she could do it, but she always had the self-doubt. And she always went through those negative things, and it affected her relationships, it affected her career, it affected her skills and the ability and capability of what she could do, just because her mind was not healthy, just because she always doubted on herself. So the health of the mind is very important. Imagine this. If the enemy just came before you, the devil or the Satan came before you and just cut off your arms or your legs or your lips or your tongue or your eyes, it would have worked the same. You wouldn't be able to share the gospel. You wouldn't be able to sing praises with your mouth. You won't be able to do good with your hand. Well, that's not the case, because even without an arm, you can still praise God. Even without a leg, you can still praise God. Even without an eye, without a lip, without a tongue, you can still praise God inside your heart. You can still do good in many ways. But if you don't have a healthy mind, you cannot do anything. There are many motivational speakers, especially this one person I know, I don't remember his name, doesn't have arms or legs, but he still is a good motivational speaker. He still shares the gospel of God because his mind is healthy, because he has made his mind strong enough that his physical disability is not going to affect his what he has, what the relationship he has with God. So your mind needs to be healthy in order for your actions to be right. Now, the 2 Corinthians 10 verses 5 advises us to take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ, preventing our thoughts from controlling us and weakening our hopes. We definitely do overthink and indulge into fake scenarios. I'll tell you, we definitely do think as ourselves as the hero of the story in our life or story in our mind. I as a kid, or we boys maybe, probably all boys have done this. We as a kid, or I as a kid, we used to think, what if a terrorist attack came on the school and they held us all captive, and how I can save my friends and my teachers and be the hero of the story. But here's what thing. Here's what comes into the picture is that we think these fake scenarios are pretty funny, and we think that it's pleasurable to think about. But even in the fake scenarios, we are denying God's control over our lives. We are denying the God's presence, that how God can work for us. And overthinking takes the wheel. So when you're overthinking about something, you're definitely taking the wheel and not giving it to God. You're overthinking because you think you can control it. You're overthinking because you think that with overthinking you can find the solution in your own way and you can solve it, or you can definitely try to get a good result. But overthinking is just one of the things that is not letting you surrender to God. When you surrender to God, you don't have to overthink. Because if it's God's will, it's going to happen. That's what I have learned. And I'm telling you, if it's God's will, it's going to happen. I've been overthinking all my life. It has never helped me. And I think, yes, Jesus speaks about overthinking in Matthew chapter 6. He says, by just thinking, or by just taking the tension or taking the stress of tomorrow, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? But overthinking about that, or taking stress about that, is not going to add even a single second to your life. That's what Jesus says. Jesus reminds us in Matthew that worrying cannot add a single day to our lives, urging us to surrender our thoughts to God and embrace His plans for us. Next thing we can do is renewing our mind through prayer and the Word. In our old days, when we are living in our old life, what we have done has become a habit. So sometimes there are force of habits. Sometimes we don't want to do some things, but since we've been doing it for a long time, we usually do the same thing again, even when we are saved. So here's what Romans 12 verses 2 says: do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So Romans 12 verses 2 encourages us not to conform to the world's pattern, but to be transformed by renewing our minds. So with the old thoughts and old way of thinking pattern, you will not be able to understand what God's will is. So your mind needs to be renewed in order to welcome the new suit of thoughts, the new suit of pattern of thinking. So once you have received salvation, and if you haven't renewed your mind, now is the time to renew your mind through prayer and the Word. You have to clean your mind. You have to remove what has been there, but which has not been good, or which is against the knowledge of God. With prayer and the Word, you can remove what has been there, which is not good, and replace it with the Word of God. And the Word of God, when it stays in your heart, when it stays in your mind, it will help you to adapt, to follow a new pattern, which is not of the world, but of God's. His pleasing, His good, and His perfect will be clear to you when your mind is renewed. Now, how to fight the war in our minds? We have already discussed 2 to 3 things. And one of the things was to take your thoughts captive to Christ. This is one of the strategy to do. As a war and a battle has strategies and tactics to fight, same way a spiritual warfare also has tactics and strategies to fight against it. And one of them, one or two have already shared is taking your thoughts captive to Christ, surrendering to God and not overthinking. You know, you have to overcome overthinking, renewing your mind. One of the very effective ways to achieve all these goals or achieve all these strategies and tactics to implement it is to pray. Prayer is one of the proven and strongest method of defense and fight in the spiritual warfare. Now, we already have victory in Jesus. We already have victory for what we are fighting for. So, but we need to fight to achieve that victory in our lives. As I said again, God has promised you many things and He has promised you victory as well in Jesus. But you have to do your effort. You have to put your effort. You have to do your job in order to achieve that victory. Prayer is a powerful weapon, allowing us to invite God into our battles and receive protection from the enemy's deception and temptation. When you pray, you are submitting to God. When you pray about a certain thing, you are inviting God to that certain thing. When you pray, God, I am so under the control of overthinking. You're inviting God to that specific matter and you're asking God, please help me. Since you have prayed to Him, you have invited Him, and He's going to help you out. Prayer is indeed a powerful weapon. One of the greatest strategy you can use, even if you are struggling in many things, but if you pray, when you pray, you are increasing the defense around you, the protection from enemies, deception and temptation. Prayer is increasing the defense around you. You cannot fight. There are two modes of fight. There are two modes of war or any battle. The first thing is to have a defense. Second thing is to fight. You can fight an enemy, but if you don't have a defense, you're killed. You're just going to lose at that same moment when you're trying to fight. So my quote on this is, do not bring the fight to the enemy until your defense is ready. Do not bring the fight to your enemy until your defense is ready, until your prayer life is strong. Do not think you can go against the enemy directly and fight against him. So what prayer does is it will increase the defense around you. And as well, as we pray, we are humbling ourselves. We have to humble ourselves when we pray. Prayer's concept is the same thing. Because prayer, as we also call it, prayer as a conversation with God, but it's still not called as conversation. It's still known as prayer. And we only pray to someone who is above us, someone who is more stronger than us, someone who is dominant about everything. So that's why it's called prayer and not conversation. Though prayer is also conversation with God, but it's not a conversation with somebody who is of our level, but it's a conversation with someone, a deity who is above everything that our mind can imagine. So prayer will help you to increase your defense. What else can help you in increasing your defense? Here's what Paul says. Paul says, speaks about the armor of God that we can wear in the spiritual warfare. And one thing that he mentions very thoroughly is to use faith as the shield. So prayer increases your defense as well as does faith. If you're praying but you don't have faith, how will you see your prayer coming and making a result? If you're praying or if you're speaking to somebody about anything, like say you're sharing something to your friend, but you do not trust him, then what does that conversation brings forth? So it is indeed necessary that you have to have faith on God. Also, it says in Bible, in Hebrews, that without faith, it is impossible to please him. So you need to come with faith. Defense is pretty crucial before we take the fight to the enemy. We must strengthen our boundaries through prayer, faith, and discipline. This is my takeout for you guys, that we must strengthen our boundaries through prayer and discipline and faith. In ancient times, when there were kingdoms and kings, a strong king will always have watchmen around the city, on the walls, on the gates, because if any spy comes from another kingdom, and as they are spying on the king as they are spying on the kingdom that they want to attack, but if they see watchmen around the wall, in the gates, they'll understand what their takeout will be is that this kingdom is protected. This kingdom's defense is highly strong. Maybe it could be true as well as could be this way, that the kingdom's defense is actually not that strong. Maybe inside the kingdom there are very few members as soldiers. The quantity of soldiers is less. Maybe their tactics are not that strong when it comes to fighting. But since they did really good job in showing or in doing a defense or in doing a tactics or strategy of having watchmen around the wall, on the wall, near the gates, just to have that defense, or just to keep a watch on anything unusual, because of that very basic strategy. Any spy that spies on the kingdom will surely understand that the kingdom is strong and has a high defense. So that's why I say, do not bring the fight to the enemy until your defense is strong. You gotta pray. You gotta have faith on God. And you have to live in discipline. Faith definitely acts as our shield, protecting us from the enemy's attacks when we engage in prayer and trust God wholeheartedly. So when we are praying about something and it feels like it is not happening, because most of the time, humans as we are, we usually depends on what we feel, and that sometimes brings deception. So when we have faith on God, these feelings doesn't matter. So when we don't feel like it's not happening, or when we feel like God is not doing anything, but we have faith on God, these feelings will not be any matter to be focused on. So faithful prayer, or praying with faith will definitely help you to increase your strong defense. Here's my conclusion to you, my friends. Our minds are battlegrounds. The moment we got saved, we are God's soldiers. We need to wear the armor of God. We need to pray. We need to have faith on Him while we pray and live a disciplined life. Though our minds are battlegrounds, but through surrendering to God and renewing our minds with His word and building strong defenses through prayer and faith, we can actively fight and win the war within. Again, make your defenses strong. Make your prayer life strong. Make your faith strong on God, and your defense will be stronger than ever. Remember that the victory is already ours in Jesus. And with His guidance, we can experience true transformation and live in the freedom He offers us. I hope this broadcast helps you. And if it does, I would love to hear from you. Any comments, any views, anything that I missed, anything that you can add onto the topic, please let me know. You can approach me through Instagram. The ID would be given in the description. Thank you so much for listening patiently. Thank you so much for coming here and listening to my podcast. I pray that God bless you with this podcast, with this content. And I pray that God helps you to bring all the thoughts captive to Christ, in obedience to Christ. And definitely, God will help you. God will help us. God is our strength. Thank you so much. Take care.